The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. And Jill Biden's work husband, I'm sorry, Dr. Jill Biden. You always have to say that by law. Her work husband. First of all, I hate that friggin' term so much. Work husband, work wife. I hate it. It's stupid. It's a dumb term. It implies that you're you know, at work. That's what it in my mind. If my wife came home to me and said, I have a work husband, I'd be like, I'm going to go kill the guy is what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Work husband. That's the media bandies around this term. Oh, is Dr. Jill Biden's work husband? Well, I wonder if he was performing the husbandly duties because Biden's brain, he certainly was not. Biden was not performing his presidential duties. So was the work husband performing all the duties? Huh? He would not answer under oath. He would not answer a single question, would not say anything. And they asked the guy, hey, what's up? You were there. You were there the entire time. Who was running the country? Wouldn't say. Is Biden up for the job? Wouldn't say. And you know who was running the country? His work wife, Dr. Jill Biden. She was running the country. And not doing a very good job of it, by the way. And the auto pen was running the country. And staffers were enabling decisions to be made based on the auto pen, if it fit criteria. That's why we had a ban on the export of liquid natural gas. So first of all, I want to get into this. And President Trump has said that the auto pen scandal is the biggest scandal. He's correct. He's right. I agree with that. It is the biggest scandal. And we cannot let go of this. We cannot let go of this for a second. It also means I'm a big believer in we walk and chew gum at the same time. So I'm not going to say, well, then we got to drop something else because it's not we can do multiple things at once. OK, and we have to do multiple things at once. But there is certainly a lot around this auto pen scandal that is not going away. And we need to talk about this and we need to deal with it. But let me begin with man Donnie and ma'am Donnie. Can't say this guy's friggin' name. So he goes to D.C., right? Goes to D.C. today, and the Democrats don't know how to handle this guy. Bernie Sanders is posing for pictures with him. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the leader of the squad. Pramila J-Pal's out there. And they say to him, what about this globalize the intifada, which means kill the Jews? And he's not saying that anymore. This is the new ma'am Donnie. He's now not saying globalize the intifada, and he's going to tell people not to say it anymore. Wow. What a guy. What a guy, huh? You know who's really nervous about this? Governor Kathy Hochul's really nervous about this. I'll get to that in a second. But here is here's Zoran Mamdani talking about the rapid decline of tourists coming to New York City. I'll tell you why tourists aren't coming to New York City in a second. But this is what he said. Cut 16.
As Bob was saying, fight back against an authoritarian administration. And Donald Trump's attempt at ripping up the very fabric of the city that we call home, of the country that we belong to and that we love. We know that his policies, they are not just disappearing our neighbors, detaining our friends. They are also turning the world away from our city. The rapid decline of tourists coming to this city is an issue not simply for us living up to our word as a city that welcomes the world, but it's one that has very real economic impacts for artists that are with me here today and those beyond. It is the difference between whether or not people can afford to keep calling the city their home. And so I will be proud to be the mayor of this city, to stand up for this city, and to make it clear that the world is welcome in this city, and that we need to turn the page on this federal administration that is looking to inspire fear among people across this country and across this world when they come to think of who we are and what we are.
Okay. The reason why tourists don't go to New York City is because it's a filthy, crime-ridden mess. I was there on Monday. Fox News hit. Might have mentioned that. And the garbage on the streets, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. And I avoid Times Square like the friggin' plague. I don't want to go near that place. Where Fox News is located is 6th Avenue and 48th Street. So if I have the ability to have a car, then I can, you know, they drive it. But if I'm taking the train up or something, I got to avoid that. I walk all the way as far either east or west as I can to avoid that chaos that is Times Square. It's filthy, disgusting, crime-ridden. Why would you want to go there? People are not coming to New York City if that's the case. And I don't know if tourism numbers are down or not, but it's not because of Donald Trump. This is part of the problem. This guy, man, Donnie, is nuts. And if I were a Jew, I'm not going to New York if this guy's mayor. Not after the things he said. So here's some people trying to dampen his use of that phrase, globalize the intifada. Here's Andre Carson, a Democrat representative. This is his spin on it. Cut 18.
Speak to people who might still be on the fence here, especially on the globalize the intifada phrase, because that, you know, really did not go over well with some folks out there. What does he need to do besides? I mean, do you think he needs to just come out and condemn the phrase?
Well, I think he'll speak to it. I mean, some people mean it literally. Some people have repurposed the phrase. They mean it symbolically. And I think he could speak to it better than I can.
Okay. You know, Democrats who aren't insane, and by insane, I mean who are not acting politically insane, because I think you're insane to stay in the Democrat Party. I really do. But let's say you're a mainstream, and I'm using air quotes if you're watching us on the YouTube stream right now. By the way, you can listen to the show now on the iHeartRadio app. If you don't like the Odyssey app, you can listen on the iHeartRadio app. You can also get the podcast of the show. However you want to get the podcast is how you want to get the podcast. And I'm sorry, Road Warrior, but it's blood splatter. Okay? Not spatter. Splatter. Splattered splatters all over the place. Anyway, point is, however you listen, you have no excuse not to listen. And you have no excuse not to join us for Politics and Pints with Gianno Caldwell, July 31st at Bucks County Community College, the Zlock Performing Arts Center. Me and Gianno, Fox News superstar, and also Gianno Caldwell. I'm kidding. He is. And it's going to be a great night together. Politics and Pints. We'll hang out. We'll have fun. Take questions. It'll be a blast. So I want to see you there. 1210WPHG.com. All right? We don't get to do this a lot. Have these kind of casual nights and hang out. And it's fun. You know, you bring everybody together. And it's an evening. It's a nice night. Good memories. All right? 1210WPHG.com is where you want to go. So, in the Democrats who are trying to play in the not crazy lane, Governor Kathy Hochul goes on MSNBC today, begins the interview by saying how she's really going to be in charge, trying to reassure everybody, because the front page of the New York Post today is sickle and dimed, how Ma'am Donnie is going to tell businesses, I'm going to raise your taxes and you won't leave. All right, so the governor of New York goes on MSNBC and says, well, I'm really in charge. Everything has to really go through me in Albany. I mean, she's a megalomaniac anyway, and she wants to run for president, I guess. I think every politician at that level thinks they can be, so why not her? So she's trying to run in the I'm the moderate, sensible lane. I'm the Josh Shapiro. I'm Gavin Newsom 2.0 lane, the Gretchen Whitmer 2.0 lane. You know what I'm talking about, the John Fetterman 2.0 lane. You get it. I don't buy it. But that's what they're doing. So when I explain to you what they're doing, it doesn't mean that I'm endorsing what they're doing or that I'm falling for what they're doing. I'm just telling you what they're doing. Anyway, she begins the interview by telling them, don't worry, because everything's got to go through me anyway in Albany. All right. Then she goes on to say, and this is very telling here, her answer. Let's cue up cut 28 here. Her answer on this, pay close attention to how she answers this question about how he's going to deal with the Jews. Take a listen.
settled in June, so we'll be watching closely.
Mamdani met with a group of business leaders here in New York yesterday, expressed some of their concerns about his policy proposals, that he's a democratic socialist, that he might not have the best interest of New York City's business community in mind. Do you share any of those concerns?
I actually raised many of those concerns with him directly. I said, you have a lot of healing to do with the Jewish community. Many of your words have been hurtful and hateful to people in their interpretation of it. So job number one is to straighten that relationship out if you can, and to get them to understand that if you become the mayor, we don't know the outcome, but if you become the mayor, that you'll be a mayor for everyone. And no one should have to worry about being in a city and feeling less safe because of who the mayor is and the religious beliefs. So that was important. I raised that concern. The other one is the business community. Now, everyone was having a hair on fire moment, and I said, let's just calm it all down. I've spoken to hundreds of business leaders saying, listen, nothing is going to happen to this city without me being aware of it and involved in it. So don't talk about packing up and leaving and all these other, you know, overreactions. We're going to be okay no matter what happens. And so.
Okay, did you notice how she said, if he wins? He's the Democrat nominee for mayor of New York City. They brought him to D.C. today, and they were trying to get all these Democrats to be happy and joyful around this guy. As the governor of New York, the governor of the state, is on national television to all of MSNBC's 40,000 viewers this morning, telling them, don't worry, I'll handle it. No matter what, I'll protect you. But if he wins, there's something in the works here. Even though there might be this MAGA civil war going on over Epstein right now, the Democrat civil war is very, very big. It's pronounced. And it's over this guy, because this is the future of the party. Are they going to go the socialist Marxist kook route and then they're done? Or are they going to be able to beat back on that? But then they have to do some behind the scenes moves here to stop this guy, because you can't let this guy win. This is not a small town in Cleveland, Ohio. Not that Cleveland's a small town. I'm saying, like, you know, this is the biggest city in America. And this guy, we're talking about the biggest concentration of wealth, the biggest city, the biggest media market. You can't have this guy be the mayor. She knows that. Sensible, moderate Democrats, and I'm using air quotes again on YouTube, they know that. So what do you do? Well, Pramila J-Pal says, and if you're not on board, well, you're missing an opportunity. This is cut number 20 from his little kook tour on Capitol Hill today. Cut 20.
Yeah, he's bringing the party together at this point.
Look, he's bringing anybody who can see the reality of the success of his candidacy and his campaign together. Anybody that's staying out at this point instead of endorsing this incredible dynamic leader is missing an opportunity.
Do you think he... Anybody staying out? You know who's staying out? People that don't want to have a communist run New York, the biggest city in America. Yeah, it's bad. I mean, this is a bad moment for them. This is a very, very bad look for them. And they don't know what to do, because this guy has also been saying things like defund the police and globalize the intifada and all these other wacky, kooky things as well. Now they're trying to pretend like he never said those things. Here's the squad leader herself. Sandy from, wait, she's not from the Bronx. She's from, what is it? Is it Yorktown? Or what is it, Matt? Do you remember the neighborhood?
I have no idea.
Sandy from, somebody tell me. It's going to come to me. Anyway, play the clip. Somebody on the YouTube chat will answer for me. Cuts 17.
Congresswoman, do you agree with Zoran that we should globalize the Antifada? You were just with them this morning. You guys had a very nice breakfast. I saw you. I saw your sign.
Congresswoman, may not be the future leader of the Democrat Party.
Yorktown Heights. Thank you, Justin. Yorktown Heights. Sandy from Yorktown Heights. So the kooks are all rallying around him. Democrats who are trying to vie for this sensible, moderate lane, they're all trying to run away from this guy. Either way, he's a disaster for them. So the Love Gov Andrew Cuomo comes out yesterday and points out the fact that, what, like 13-14% of registered Democrats voted in the primary. Something's in the works here. Either it's Adams or it's Cuomo. Now, she hates Kathy Hochul, the governor, hates Cuomo's guts. Hates him. Eric Adams is the safer choice for her political future, but Eric Adams is the bigger political liability, believe it or not, because New York is a freaking mess, and Eric Adams is very close to the Trump administration now, so he's a political liability. Either way, the other idea is, can they get Curtis Sliwa out of the race, give him a job in the Trump administration, and then you could just have a two-man race, but they are trying something, anything, to try to make sure this guy does not win. That's what's happening right now as we speak. And I get it, because this is bad. I mean, this is bad, bad stuff. And the Democrats get what they get. And it makes me happy. I personally love it. I personally can't get enough of this. Here's Pramila Jayapal, the socialist who once said, defund the police, kick the fascist, her words, ICE out of New York, release all the criminals from prison. Mandani will not prosecute crime, disarm law-abiding citizens, publicly fund sex change surgeries and puberty blockers, said that the police were against trans people and queer people, that defunding the police was trans justice and queer justice, particularly for trans women. This guy is apparently authentic and inspiring. Cut 19.
I think it's hard not to be won over because it's the combination of his authenticity, his smarts, and his commitment to lifting up working people and making life better for real folks that is really
inspiring. So inspiring. All right, we got a lot more to go as the show goes on. We got to talk about Joe Biden, Dr. Jill Biden's work husband, and how Dr. Jill Biden's work husband doesn't know anything, apparently. He's pleading the fifth on everything. Well, listen, it's not too late for you to make your summer vacation plans at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. There's still time. Summer's not over. But you better act fast because they sell out every summer. And the Grand is a beautiful place to go. And now you can also start thinking about your fall getaway as well. We're going to be back there August 15th for our next live show. What about an event? You're looking for a wedding venue? The Grand Hotel was named the best of the best for New Jersey. My friend Caitlin, 2025 South Jersey Face of Weddings. She is a certified wedding planner. Will help make all your dreams come true. And with big, beautiful ballrooms, the Grand Hotel can host weddings and baby showers, bridal showers, corporate events, family reunions, you name it. With an indoor heated pool, salt water, an outdoor heated pool, pool bar, beach concession stand, cabana, you get resort credits if you stay there, beautiful restaurant right on site, Hemingway's. The Grand Hotel is the perfect place to stay, and Cape May is the best beach escape, in my opinion. So start thinking about summer if you haven't made your plans yet, and start thinking about fall. Crowds go home, you have the place all to yourself, and the weather is still absolutely gorgeous. Either way, go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Is it me or is Buck Sexton looking a lot like Teen Wolf? Do you guys have Fox News on right now in the studio?
Yeah, he does.
Is he looking a lot like Teen Wolf, or is it me?
No, you're right.
Are you able to put that on the YouTube stream real quick?
I don't think so. I think we're going to get hit with a copyright
violation.
Yeah,
all right.
A lot. Yeah,
Will Kane is going to show up at our door and serve us.
Yeah. as soon as I saw that, I said he looks like the hair is all poofed out, right? The beard, any minute now. But Teen Wolf 1 or Teen Wolf 2?
Well, the second one's not that good, right?
Did you see it? GrandHotelKMA.com. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Part of the thing, and I'm not going to spend the whole show on the Epstein stuff. I'm going to come back to it, though, just, you know, fair warning, because there's a lot. There's a lot of reaction. There's a lot of audio. My inbox, my Twitter, blowing up. People are very upset today. Part of the problem, I think, sometimes is that you are so desperate to be near powerful people, that you become a yes person. See, I can't do that. I've never been able to do that. In my entire career, I have always, whenever I work with candidates, I've always told them the truth, not what they wanted to hear. And I've worked with people on campaigns who are such weasels, like such weasels, that will always tell a candidate what they want to hear because they play to their ego, and then, you know, they're around, like, and then they're weasels, and I can't stand those people. And it's part of the reason why I have a love-hate relationship with the world of political consulting, because I appreciate the fact that candidates trust my advice and take my advice. But the reason why I go in and I leave versus staying full time on a campaign, and I really don't have time to do it anymore, but I mean, occasionally, you know, is I can't take the weasels. I can't take the people that sabotage other people on the campaign team because they view them as a threat to their position to get to the principal. And by principal, I don't mean principal as in a school. I mean, that's what we refer to the candidate as, the principal. And so being around those people makes you need to take a shower, quite frankly. Like, there was a time when I'll tell you this story. This between us, all right? I'm not going to mention who the person was. But the very first time that I ever got invited to go to a rally in New Hampshire on Trump Force One out of Teterboro, New Jersey, I got there and a certain person from the campaign was calling me and telling me, "Where are you? We're waiting for you." And I said, "I don't know where the plane is. You have to give me the tail number. They're not just going to let me in." And he said, "Well, too late. We can't wait for you. We got to go." Plane left. I didn't fly to New Hampshire that day. So a week later, went up to New York, 26th floor, walk in the room. Big guy says to me, "We waited for you. Where were you?" Now, in that moment, I could have thrown the other campaign scumbag under the bus and said, "Well, I didn't have the details in order for them to let me in to the airport to go on the plane. And I kept calling him and he wouldn't answer the phone. He wouldn't respond to my text until you were basically getting ready to fly away." I could have said that. Instead, I said, "Oh, there was a miscommunication," and moved on. But that's my point. It's stuff like that that infuriates me. And it's stuff like that, too, when you see it in debate prep, when there are people that say, like, "Oh, that was a great answer." And you're like, "No, it wasn't. That was a terrible answer. That was bad. Don't say that. If you say that, you're going to lose." But there are then opportunities in the campaign world for people that want to just keep. They want to be there. That's their dream. Their dream is to one day become the chief of staff. Their dream is to become. I never had those dreams. My dream was this. That was my dream. My dream was to be behind this microphone and, of course, television, whatever they'll have me. But no, that was my dream. That was always what my goal was. And I had an opportunity at one point. I think I told you this in 2016 to give this up and go full time on the campaign. And I turned it down. Now, look, I look back on that in hindsight and I think I wonder what would have happened. Would I have made it? Would I have lasted? I don't think I would have. To be honest with you, I don't think I would have, because I'm not the kind of guy that just says yes. And I'm not saying that that's who the president surrounds himself with. I'm saying that there are people in his orbit who find a way to surround them with people that will say what he wants to hear because they know that it's their job security. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, put it to you like this. Imagine you're in a situation with the candidate, and there are two people offering him two conflicting visions. And he goes with your vision. And it works out. It's a success. Well, now you've just been elevated in the eyes of the principal. And the other guy, not so much. So if you're in charge of the campaign, if you get to decide who's around, You want people who are going to back you up in that situation and not argue with you and give that so that's the one vision. Because then if it goes wrong, it's on you. It's on them. But it's not like there's anyone else who's going to then jump ahead and take the place, because until everybody gets fired and they bring in a whole new campaign team, which is ultimately what would happen. My point is, I don't know, you know, the current climate and culture of things. I don't know. I know that I think Susie Wiles has done an incredible job of being the Trump whisperer and getting him to not say certain things and to rein him in and be disciplined and on message and remarkable. I think she deserves a medal. I mean, the campaign that she and Chris LaCivita ran was excellent, outstanding. Great job. I mean, all around. When he falls into his old habits again of posting stupid stuff on social media, I don't know if there's anyone there who says that to him. I don't know, you know. And I feel a loyalty, a sense of duty to say, like, don't do that. Just like I felt the loyalty and a sense of duty to say, don't say that in the past. Because to me, if you're asked to do something, if you're hired to do a job, right? You're brought in to help advise a candidate, and even if the candidate gets mad at you, that's your job. Your job is to help. Your job is to help them win. And if you tell them advice they don't like, if you give them medicine they don't want to take, that's the job. And yeah, it may not work out for you. It may not. Quite frankly, I've had this conversation over the years with people in politics many times. And we've also watched as there have been people who have been just nothing but yes men. And they've been on failing campaigns, and they continue to be on failing campaigns. And that's just how they roll. And they move from failing campaign to failing campaign. And they always have somebody else they're able to blame for why the candidate lost. And they're really good at it in terms of passing the buck and making a lot of money doing it in political consulting, you know, a lot of money. But thinking in terms of what it means to actually respect the people that vote for you, to respect them, has been everything about Donald Trump since he took the stage in 2015 at those early rallies that the media was not covering. And it's always been about respect. I said this on Monday on America's Newsroom. Shameless plug. I have to say it, what, every 5 minutes? And I said, you know, as Jasmine Crockett is out there calling people uneducated, I said, you know, Trump said to all these blue-collar workers, I respect you. You built this country. You're the backbone of this country. I respect you. His whole platform has always been about the respect for his base, his voters, his coalition, and that loyalty. And they've seen that ever since he came down the escalator. So what you can't do now is you can't insult that base. You can't. That is the thing that will end it all. I'm telling you right now. I know this stuff. And I don't like what I'm seeing on social media from him. I don't like what he said in the Oval Office today. And I know there's going to be talk show hosts out there who would just, you know, wouldn't say this. But, I mean, I was saying stuff in 2016, again, with the idea of trying to help, and people would get mad at me because I would have the audacity to say such a thing. But the people in the base, they feel a very special connection. And if suddenly now they're told, I don't want you anymore, I don't want your support anymore. Imagine if I said to you, Zioli Army, I don't want you to listen to the show anymore. Like, I told Roger that, and he never did. I mean, he still listens under a different name, you know what I mean? But if I genuinely meant that, like, I don't want you to listen anymore. If you don't agree with me on this, I don't want you, and all these people have been with me from day one, and I just completely, like, you would be, what, you know? It's very, very much like if a talk show host, after years of saying that they were conservative, endorses, say, Barack Obama for president. You go, wait, what happened? Wait, what did you do? You know what I mean? Your base, the people that are around you, that have been with you from day one, I mean, like, this is so bad, in my opinion, that I'm probably going to reach out to them and say that he needs to say something and fast to the people that are his base and say that he loves them. And really, because I know that you may think, all right, no big deal. People need to grow up and, you know, like, come on. But it's a passionate connection he has with his supporters, a very passionate connection. And that passionate connection can be passionately broken in a way that can't be repaired, much like a marriage. It starts out and it's all great, and then something happens, and then that marriage is forever broken, right? And you think, how could that have ever happened? They were so close. It was a beautiful marriage. What went wrong? Something went wrong. Adultery or whatever, finances, whatever it was. And you go, God, I never saw that coming, right? Never would have imagined that in a million years. It can happen in politics very, very easily. And that's what I worry about in all this situation, which is why I am talking about it now, because I'm hoping that the message will be sent and received. And then we can move on from this without people being hurt to the point of no return. And insulting those people for feeling hurt does not help either. You know what I mean? Like saying to them, well, be a big boy or be a big girl or suck it up or no, that's not how it works. They've sacrificed. They've waited in line to attend rallies. They've given up they were slammed by their friends. They lost family members and friendships. They gave too much. They sacrificed too much to be part of a coalition, some from day one. You know what I mean? And to be told, I don't want your support anymore because you want answers on Jeffrey Epstein and you're stupid. You can't do that. They've sacrificed too much. They waited in line for hours in the cold, hours in the heat. You know what I mean? And that's the problem with the tweet that was posted today and why there are those times I want to take the friggin' phone away. And times that I want to just take it away and crush it and say, why is it change the passcode? You know, change the passcode here so that he just can't fire off this stuff. And I can't even blame it on alcohol because he doesn't drink. Maybe the Diet Cokes get to him. I don't know. But when you say, you know, their new scam is what we will forever call the Jeffrey Epstein hoax, and my past, in capital letters, past supporters have bought into this bull S, hook, line, and sinker. They haven't learned their lesson and probably never will, even after being conned by the lunatic left. And then you go on to say, I don't want their support anymore. Oof. No. You can't say that. So, anyway. That's my piece on that for now. I'll talk more about it as we continue on the show. But this is why I'm talking about it. This is the reason why. This is the reason why, as you can understand. It's also the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental.com. VanariaDental.com with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile. So Dr. Jill Biden, her work husband refusing to answer questions. Here's Byron Donalds talking about this today. They sat through the deposition of Anthony Bernal, Dr. Joe Biden's senior advisor. He's fired up over this, and he should be. Cut 29.
First things first, that's just crazy. You can't answer a simple question about the former president's ability to discharge his duties, and you worked in the White House as chief of staff to the first lady, and you come in here and you plead the fifth. He can say whatever he wants in his testimony, which, by the way, his attorney read. He wouldn't even read his own statement. His attorney read his statement for. So you came in there and said that him pleading the fifth is not an admission of guilt or anything about what was going on in the Biden White House, or was just to give any inkling to the fact that Joe Biden was lacking in capability. The fact that he couldn't make any statement, the fact that the White House doctor couldn't make any statement, and they both pled the fifth, which is their constitutional right to do, and we respect the Constitution like every American does, but the fact that they are now hiding behind the Constitution so that they don't have to tell the truth to the American people about Joe Biden's capabilities and mental faculties while he was president of the United States is not just shocking, it's stunning, and it demonstrates the level of corruption that was going on in that administration. The chairman is being nice. I don't have to be. This is corruption at the highest level. Because if you...
Yeah, it is corruption. No doubt about it. It's serious corruption. It's who is running our country, who is making these decisions. And James Comer, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, he had a lot to say about this as well today. This is Chairman Comer. Take a listen.
Chairman, can you tell us what happened?
I can tell you exactly what happened. Dr. O'Connor pleaded the Fifth Amendment. And I'm gonna read the first two questions that were asked. Were you ever told to lie about the president's health? He pleaded the Fifth Amendment. He would not answer that question. The second question, did you ever believe President Biden was unfit to execute his duties? Again, President Biden's White House physician pleaded the Fifth Amendment. This is unprecedented, and I think that this adds more fuel to the fire that there was a cover-up. I believe that this adds legitimacy to the Tapper book and the other books that are in the works that are about to come out.
Yeah, the books on how bad Joe Biden's brain was, really bad. Bad, bad brain. It's a bad brain. And the cover-up continues, and we're going to get to the bottom of the cover-up. We have to. We have to. For the good of our country, we have to. All right, as we continue along the show here, more to come, and we're just getting warmed up, so don't go away. Continue your comments, your thoughts, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli or our YouTube chat. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'll tell you what. Can't hear the music on YouTube, which is awkward. But it's also awkward, too, because you're watching and I'm probably just staring into the camera and there's silence. And that's probably awkward. I feel like we can fix this. Can we fix this? Isn't there something we can do? Nothing?
Nothing besides giving record labels an egregious amount of money to allow their music to be played.
Oh, I hate everybody. Did you see Superman yet?
I didn't. I have it planned for Saturday.
Saturday you're going. All right, Matt, what about you? You're going to go see it when it comes with 10 years? What? When are you going to see it?
I would like to see it. I've not seen it yet. I did see F1, though. That might be my favorite movie of the entire year.
Is that the Brad Pitt race car movie?
Correct. It's amazing.
Really?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think this entire year has kind of been not great for cinema, but... That one's good. That one stands out.
Cinema. Justin, did you hear that? Cinema.
He just can't help himself.
He can't help himself.
He can't.
It's a fun movie. I highly recommend it.
It's the fact that you use the word cinema is what we're talking about.
the fact that you think F1's a great movie, that was never the issue. You had to throw in the extra little bit of snobbiness. Oh, it's been a good year for it. It's been a good year for cinema.
It's been bad, but they're starting to turn things around. By the way, director is the same guy that did Top Gun 2, so you know you're in for a good film.
Yeah. As you're sitting there with your bologna on brioche and your Coca-Cola commenting on the state of cinema, the current state of cinema, we just find it to be charming.
I'm not a maniac that's dragging brioche buns into the movie theater. I eat popcorn just like everybody else.
You do, but you have truffle butter on it.
I like that disgusting, like, processed drippy butter that the movie theater gets from God knows where. It's delicious.
I do, too. Actually, I'm a big fan of that stuff, too. It's probably going to be outlawed by RFK Jr. at some point, but in the meantime, it's glorious. Glorious.
Yeah, oh, it's amazing. I honestly, that might be the best part of going to the movies. Because every once in a while, you'll get stuck with a dud. But you know, if you get a big thing of popcorn covered in that butter and an ice cold Coca-Cola,
Well, speaking of Coca-Cola, you just sent me the president's latest post. This is way better than anything on Epstein. What did he say?
He said that he's been speaking with Coca-Cola about using real cane sugar in their product in the United States. And apparently, they're into it.
Wow, because right now, if you want a Coca-Cola with sugar, you got to buy the Mexican Coke in the bottles. Otherwise, you get the high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
I don't think it makes it any healthier, though.
No.
Does it?
I think if you want to be healthy, you should probably not be drinking Coke.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, it's good. It's probably better than high fructose corn syrup. I'm not an expert, I know, but I still probably think it's probably not good.
No,
I don't know.
No, I don't think there's too many nutritionists that are going to recommend a tall glass of Coca-Cola. I will say, though, Mexican Coke is good. The best Coke, without a doubt, however, is the McDonald's fountain soda. I don't know what they do to it, but man.
By the way, Lee Pervorsky, who typically can't stand anything you say and is often tweeting and telling me to fire you, he just said F1 was awesome. So it's the first time that our buddy, the jeweler extraordinaire, Lee Pervorsky, has agreed with you on something.
I'm glad Lee and I could find some area of agreement. This
hell has officially frozen over. So,
you would love that movie, though. For the record, I'm not even just saying that.
No, I like Brad Pitt. I don't dislike him. I'll go see it. I think he's a very talented actor. And I like race car movies. I'll definitely see it at some point.
Yeah, this is not like Conclave.
28 Years Later was a huge. It was okay. It was all right. It was kind of disappointing. That was not that good. You saw it, right, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was. I think it was good. It wasn't like the movie of the year, but I mean, nah. I enjoyed it.
It was okay. I mean, it was, you know, but you could definitely wait for that one to come.
Yeah,
home,
you can wait
you know
for that
I mean?
On HBO
yeah.
Max or whatever they inevitably put it on.
I have not seen Mission Impossible. What is it? 86
yeah.
Part 2.
I haven't seen that one yet either.
Yeah, and I heard mixed things about it, so I just didn't get a chance. I took my daughter. What's that?
I was going to say, did you see Sinners? I think that's right now pretty much universally regarded as the best film of 2025.
The best cinema of 2025? I did not see Sinners, but I did take my daughter Claire to see Elio, which is a new Disney movie, surprisingly not woke at all, and she enjoyed it very, very much. My parents took her to see Lilo and Stitch. They loved it. Mama Zioli and Papa Zioli loved it. Claire liked it. But of all three of those movies, she said Superman was her favorite.
Interesting.
So, as parents and grandparents, and you're trying to find a movie for your kids to watch, I would tell you Superman's good. There's just a couple, like they say the S word a couple too many times. That's it. But otherwise, very family friendly. Elio, great. And not woke. I was surprised because Disney typically makes woke stuff. Maybe they got the memo. I don't know. And I didn't see Lilo and Stitch. But Mama Zioli and Papa Zioli recommended it. So there you go. So you got some summer options there for the kiddos.
Did the kids love Crypto the dog?
Oh, loved. Claire loved Crypto. Loved him. And I think Crypto steals the show. I think he's great. And he's from the comics. I know there's people out there who are angry that Crypto the dog's in the movie, but he's in the comic books. For a long time, Crypto's been in the comics. So
it's supposed to be based off James, like the, I guess, Crypto, the character, like the personality, is supposed to be based off of James Gunn's own dog.
Well, I thought it was based off Reagan because the dog is hyperactive and doesn't listen. And that's who I thought it was based off of. But anyway, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and big 5 o'clock hours straight ahead. At some point, too, we're going to get into what's going on with what's his name? That guy who's going to get deported, the not Maryland man. We'll talk about that as well. New polling in the New Jersey governor's race. This is a tight race to watch. And that's a very, very good thing for our guy, Jack Cittarelli. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.